Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's welcome in a friend to the program to preview the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is a senior reporter for the Jags, and that, of course, is JP Shadrick. JP, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
I'm doing great, Zach. That's a very emphatic introduction. Your voice guy there. Here we are. It's the preseason, so I feel it too, man. We're here. It's finally football.
Well, I'll tell you, a big introduction happened at the draft when it was the announcement of Trayvon Walker as the number one overall pick. I didn't see that one coming. I would not have guessed it a month before the draft, but he was the pick. You being in the facility each and every day, we saw him get a sack in the Hall of Fame game. What have been the early returns so far, the premature returns on Trayvon Walker?
Well, I'll say this. I think they knew pretty early in the draft process, in hindsight, looking back at it, that he was probably the guy. But just the flexibility possibilities for him on the defensive line, I think, gave him the nod over Aiden Hutchinson. I think they probably felt that Hutchinson was more of a one-trick pony on the outside, and in theory, Trayvon was going to be that in the offseason program. Hey, just play outside linebacker. But I think as they move along, he'll move inside and do some things. Josh Allen is a physical specimen. And then Trayvon Walker walks next to Josh Allen, and you realize why I think he was the number one pick. He's 6'6". He's all of 270 or whatever he's listed. Long arms. He can move. I mean, he's got, you saw it on the first snap of the Hall of Fame game, the bull rush against a massive tackle, and just pushed him right back into the quarterback. Yes, it was a penalty, but you like that impact. And he said after the game, hey, I just wanted to impact the play somehow. We can fix the stuff at the end later, basically, to paraphrase him. So far, so good. Great work ethic. Good character guy. Is in the building doing all his things right. And that's a good start.
At the end of the first round, they were also able to get Devin Lloyd. What are the expectations for the linebacker out of Utah?
Well, you got to get him on the field first. He had a hamstring injury in the day before training camp started in the conditioning program, so he has not been in an 11-on-11 teamwork yet. So he's just now starting to get back to positional drills this week. And Doug Peterson said today that they might get him back in the team stuff next week. And I think the goal is to play him against the Steelers in preseason week two. That's probably the idea there. But the expectation is, everything you can imagine at Utah that he did. He's all around the football, interceptions. They'll blitz him some. He's going to be all over the field. I think that's just, if they can protect him and let him run around, let the big guys up front do their work, give him the space to go run free and make plays. It reminds me a little bit of what Telvin Smith used to do here, except Telvin Smith was 210 pounds soaking wet. Now this guy is thick and can run and can do all those things, and that's a good place to be. You just got to get him on the field first, but he's close. He's in a good headspace, too.
Let's get to the next down. JP Shadrick here with us. We know last year was a disaster with the head football coach at Urban Meyer. Legendary college coach, was a disaster in the NFL. Doug Peterson, I've been around him in Philly. Players coach, has the respect of the locker room. Is a guy that's more has to be a lot more understanding than Urban Meyer. Just how much of a difference is it early on, and how much of a sense of relief is it that Urban's no longer there?
Well, his first order of business, Doug Peterson he said this, was to regain the trust of the organization, the players. I mean, I think there were a lot of guys who were new to the league in the last year or so that were shell-shocked, for lack of a better term, of what happened with Urban Meyer around there. So his goal, being in the league since 1991 as a player and coach, was to prove to some of these really young guys that were impacted by this that it's not always like that, and it can be done a different way. And you can trust coaching staff, especially when the entire coaching staff played in the National Football League, pretty much to a man. So they understand what these players are going through, how they feel, and how to approach in a different way a professional football player in a professional environment. So that was step number one. I think it's been achieved because you roll out here in training camp, all of a sudden you got to turn up the heat a little bit and have a live tackling practice like they had on Sunday. A couple, three periods of live tackling, and they go at it. I mean, it's like he gives them, the players give him what he asks for. Now, he doesn't beat him up. He protects him for the most times. When he asks for it, they play hard, at least so far in training camp. So that's a pretty good relationship so far, in my opinion.
Outside of Urban not being there and Doug being the head coach, what is the biggest difference, in your opinion, from the team last year to this year?
Well, I mean, they feel like that they've got some weapons on offense. We'll see. I mean, they spent a lot of money on them, right? I mean, Christian Kirk actually turned an ankle the other day, so he's kind of day-to-day right now. Zay Jones, they like what they've seen out of him in training camp so far. They got Evan Engram on a one-year kind of prove-it deal at tight end. They're expecting him to do some things in this offense, and then Travis Etienne is back. So I think just having those guys in your offense, those are starting players in your offense, that just makes things different, I think, right away. How explosive and whatever it will be, I couldn't tell you that. But I think it will be a different feeling offense. I think it will feel better than 14.8 points per game, Zach. Let's put it that way. You can't win in the NFL when you're not scoring and scoring at that low of an average. So I think they'll move the ball a little better. Maybe if Zay Jones is not that deep threat guy, which they think he could be, that might be one of the things still missing in the grand equation. But they got some other things now. ETN looks great. Christian Kirk looks the part, and they're going to be able to move the football a little more than they did last year.
Let's get the next down. So when we get to Trevor Lawrence, we know this is year number two, but with all that happened last year, doesn't it feel like it's year number one?
Kind of, right? I mean, you know, he's – well, in a couple different ways, right? So last year, remember, he had surgery on his non-throwing shoulder right around the draft or right before the draft, somewhere in that ballpark. So he spent last offseason rehabbing and not preparing, really. He was just trying to get healthy, and then it took him a couple months to get right and start throwing the football again, doctor's orders. It was a non-throwing shoulder, but still, you can't go out there and throw a week after you get cut up. So that put him a little bit behind anyway, I think, going into last season. And then everything that happened last season was just, you know, chaos. I think it's almost a clean slate of sorts. And he's had the whole offseason to truly have an NFL quarterback offseason where you're going to work with your guys in a certain place and you're doing this at a certain time and you have a plan and you can go execute it from the day the season is over until training camp starts. So having that mindset, I think, has helped him a lot. And, yeah, it does feel like a refresh. But he does still have 17 starts in his back pocket, and there are experiences in-game that he will keep for a long time. And you can't really sell that short. That's a big deal. That's hard to have. And not many people have that in their back pocket going into year two of the refresh.
I look at him, and the way we talked about him coming out of college was similar to Manning, was similar to Luck as well, where the hype was just so great. And we know the career that Peyton had, and unfortunately injuries did in Andrew Luck. For Trevor, what's a successful season this year in your eyes?
I think just what I was saying a little bit earlier, get this offense going, right? I mean, you might
look,
I don't know,
competent.
I'm
going to
give you a, yes, like no, get the team down the field, score points. You may not be perfect. You're going to throw some interceptions, probably that happens. But look, yeah, competent. There were times last year where it just didn't feel that way. I don't know if it was his fault. But it just wasn't that way. Well, it's your team, Trevor. So take control of that situation. You got better players around you, they think. So it might happen naturally. But just make that next step and make it feel like an NFL offense. I think that's the next step in the right direction.
When it comes to James Robinson, where is he at from a health standpoint, JP Shadrick?
Well, I'll say this, Zach Gelb. He's about 7 months removed from an Achilles tear. So
brutal
for me,
injury.
He's still and it was like the second to last game of the season. So he's still for me, just looking at him, a little. He's working to the side, maybe a little slight hitch in his running. There's still a feeling that I think internally they'd like to see him ready for opening day. We'll see. And obviously off to the side, not being able to run, I think he's put on a little bit of weight in the offseason. He's working that down. He's got the work ethic to go do it. But until you really start to stress this thing out and see if it's really going to work for you, you just don't know. So he hasn't done any team stuff yet, 11-on-11. He's just off to the side on his own. He's doing some handoff work with the quarterbacks, at least what I've seen. So now, he never was really an explosive guy anyway, right? I mean, his longest run for a long time in the league was like 37 yards. But he can get you four and a half. I mean, that's a career average for him. He rarely loses yardage because he has a little bit of wiggle. If he's hitting the backfield, he can get away and get back to the line of scrimmage. So he's got that. That's valuable to keep moving the ball forward about 4.5 yards. But that's why ETN's around, too. That's the home run threat. So that's a 1-2 punch. You got some other guys in there that can play also. So, for me, the jury's a little bit still out on James Robinson. They got to see it. And they've got a little time. We'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks if things improve quickly. But as of right now, there's still some work to be done with James.
And let's get to the final down. When we look at this division, and I always like to get your view on this, who do you give the edge to win this division this year inside the AFC South?
Boy, I've asked about that to a few different people. And I think it's Tennessee did it. The Colts failed, but they've changed their quarterback. And it's just a race for third between the Jaguars and the Texans. But you would think the Jaguars would have the upper hand. So for me right now, I think the Colts have the upper hand because of their quarterback situation. The Titans are right there. Kind of flip a coin, I think, depending on who's playing better towards the end of the season. And then the Jaguars third in the division, and then Houston still just trying to figure it out. We've been there for a long time. I get it. It's not fun. That's what it is in Houston right now. So for me, it's Indy number one. They're the team that was right there knocking on the door. They made some key changes in the offseason, and it just feels like that might pay off for them.
What's the most amount of wins you could pin the Jaguars to have this year in your mind?
Well, I mean, they could have 17, Zach. I mean, come on now. I mean, in theory, no, I'm kidding, of course. So
I know.
For me, it's around 500. I mean, it's a really good step. They won 3 games. They won 4 games total the last 2 years. So, and they've made some changes, obviously, that time in a number of different levels of the organization. So you jump from 3 to 8, 9 if the ball bounces. I think coaching alone will calm things down and get you 2 or 3. I think better quarterback play will get you at least 3. That's 6. A defense is going to look totally different. There's only 2 starters on this depth chart right now that were here in 2020 or before. It's all new. The new coordinator. So what's that going to look like? I mean, who knows? So,
and you'll beat the Colts up one time this year because that always happens.
Hey, you don't come at a TIA Bank Field with a horseshoe because you're going to go out with an L. That's how it works around here. So it's about 7 years, I think, that's happened in a row. So, yeah, so there's that. And so that adds up to about 8 or 9 to me. And that's a good step in the right direction, in my opinion, for this organization. Can they win more? The ball bounces? Sure. If they get some momentum early. They win week 1 in Washington, come back home, the Colts, that's 2-0 in theory, okay. And then you're on the road twice. And then you got the AFC West in the schedule this year in the middle of the season. And then on the road, basically the whole month of December. I mean, it's a tough schedule. But if you get some early wins and a little momentum, then you know how that can go.
JP Shadrick, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Always great to talk with you. I appreciate it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.